having sort of ready-made processes that if things bust loose here, that we have things ready to put in place and also to run up the chain. So is that how you see it, Lisa?
Yeah, that is exactly the clarification I was looking for.
Okay.
Can I ask a question?
Yes, please go ahead, Kim.
So if that one is not an actual, if that meeting or that what you're talking about isn't an actual agenda item for action, do you just want it to be a work session with direction?
With the assembly sort of nod, I would say that's a work session. We're just giving some basic direction. I don't think there's going to be an actionable agenda item for that. So we've already-
You can always bring something back.
Yeah. Does anybody want to comment on that or disagree? Okay. So Lisa, I think that's a process you can look at for that. Do you have any other, Madam Clerk, does that work for you? Okay, thank you. That was a big thumbs up for those of you that are on the radio. City Manager Von Bargen, is there anything else that you want to comment on this before we take sort of a last round on comments? Sorry, Assemblymember Decker has her hand back up. Go ahead, Assemblymember Decker.
Yeah, thanks. Just for the listening public, I want to give just a real short description of, you know, the letter that we're sort of responding to that the state sent. You know, they talk about reopening responsibly and reducing restrictions over time, but they also say they're, you know, putting in place this system, these metrics that will determine if the restrictions should be eased, continued, or rolled back to be more restrictive. So, and I don't know how many people in the public or even on the assembly have a chance to listen to the governor's live press conferences, press briefings at 5 o'clock, but he continuously says, the better that Alaskans do at following guidance, the more successful this reopening will be. And you know, over time things can be eased. If people don't follow guidance and they're not careful, the state will start putting more restrictions back in place. The state will. This is not Wrangell. I'm saying the state will. So the state is looking at these numbers and they report every day. They have an amazing website actually that has not real time, but within 24 hours reporting for communities, by community, by population segment, all these different stats. It's really quite good. It's much better than a lot of other states have. And so anyway, they've set up a system that they can watch these things fairly closely, and that's their intention. That's their stated intention. So I don't think it's not going to be like we have to go a week and all of a sudden we have this information of this big outbreak in Wrangell. I think we're going to be able to see anything happening fairly quickly, minus the, you know, a cruise ship rolling in with a bunch of COVID cases. That scenario I just can't wrap my head around, anyway, I just wanted to kind of let people know. And the four metrics are epidemiology, testing, public health capacity, and healthcare capacity. So that's, I think, the four things we're going to track, and then respond accordingly. And it sounds to me like I'm inferring here, but it sounds to me like they're prepared to roll back and be more restrictive even by community, because that's how outbreaks will happen. It'll be community by community. So anyway, I just want to put that out there because I want to be prepared, but I also don't want people to be afraid. And I have quite a bit of confidence in Dr. Zink, the chief medical officer for the state. And she's very open. She answers questions straight up. And anyway, for the listening public, I just wanted to put that out there.
Thank you, Julie. Go ahead, Lynn.
Hi, sorry, I have a dog here. So I agree, Julie, and I completely support the idea that the thing that's most likely to let us open up economically successfully is everybody continuing to do what they can while visiting local businesses and so forth, and keep doing what you're doing at home. Isolate when you can, wear masks in public, wash your hands lots, spray down common surfaces. But there's one area that I do disagree, and the problem or the solution to being in a small community like this is we can be skipped altogether by this virus. We may not get it. We may just get lucky. On the other hand, because we're small, we don't have the same trends that you see in a larger center. When you're talking about having a forewarning that something's going to happen, that's more likely to happen if you've got a large center with a large population and a large capacity hospital system. In ours, we're sort of all or none. So with that in mind, I think we really do have to take Patty's comments really to heart and say, we're not going to have as much lead time on this as some people might. And so having our ducks in a row ahead of time just is prudent.
Thank you, Lynn. Okay, is there any other comments related to the agenda item? Seeing none, poll vote, please.
Assembly members Gilbert?
Yes.
Morrison?
Yes.
DeLong?
Yes.
Decker?
Yes.
Howell?
Yes.
Larrabee?
Yes.
And Mayor Prasanka?
Yes. Okay, item five, new business, item B. And actually, Letha and Lynn, if you both want to sign off, you're welcome to. Thank you both so much for coming. Dr. Lancaster, if you're still on, thank you for coming on, and I appreciate it very much, as well as Captain Spray. Thank you. You're welcome to stick around, but if you guys wanted to sign off, I think that would be fine. Lisa, do you disagree with that? Are you good with that?
No, that's perfectly fine. I know that Captain Spray has just come off an ambulance call.
Okay, thank you. New business B, approval of the proposed Section 8 to the Wrangell Marine Service Center Yard User Agreement.
Move to approve proposed Section 8 to the Wrangell Marine Service Center Yard User Agreement.
This is
seconded by. Sorry, was that by Assemblymember Larrabee? Thank you. Thank you. Discussion. Lisa, we'll let you cue us up on this one, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So this is the second or third maybe iteration of work that went into trying to come up with something reasonable for work in the marine yard to make sure that we're keeping everybody safe while work is being done. Much of it, as you can see, relates directly to Mandate 17. After the mandate came out, it was very prescriptive in how things need to be done. So we were just able to refer directly to those sections. But there are a handful of things that are unique to Wrangell. I don't want to read it for everybody, but if there's a specific area, I can go over that. I would like to say I did receive comment back, review comment back from Assemblymember Decker and from Jamie Roberts and from Chris Guggenbickler and from Mike Lockaby. And as Mr. Lockaby indicated in his comments under persons to be heard, he was hoping to see a couple of changes. There is a specific reference that says only, let me find it here. I apologize, I don't have my numbers memorized in my own draft here. Section K of the document indicates that vessels may be admitted to the marine yard without an operator or crew. Work by a vendor or contractor below the waterline may begin immediately. Work above the waterline may begin 72 hours, 3 days after the vessel is admitted to the marine yard and no crew has been on board. And Mr. Lockaby indicated that he thinks rather than work below the waterline, it should be work on the exterior of the vessel. And he also believes, as he indicated, that work should be able to begin 24 hours, not 72 hours after it's brought into the yard. And so I did respond to Mr. Lockerbie about those things. My concern with changing things to the exterior of the vessel rather than below the waterline is that the exterior could include deck space or other things that are being frequented by crew that may be quarantining on the vessel as well while the work is done below the waterline. This section is for stuff coming without an operator or crew. My concern, frankly, with this was just that what we've heard from everybody is that it takes 3 days for the virus to die on different surfaces. And so that's why we said below the waterline. That was the discussion that we had with the group, and I just kept it at that. And then 72 hours seems to be the time frame that everybody has used. And I know Mr. Lockerbie has done a considerable amount of research on the half-life of the virus and other things. And I just, given the circumstances, I'm not comfortable stating whether the virus will die in that period of time or not. And so, you know, erring on the side of caution, I kept it at 72 hours, but I'm certainly willing to listen to the assembly's comments there.
I'm most comfortable with 72 hours, and I have read reports that are all over the map, and that's part of the problem with this. And I also happen to have access to various journals, as obviously Mr. Lockerbie does as well. And I have seen multiple different reports reporting different things. So I would say we're better off to be conservative and than to be less conservative on this. Again, there's another factor for me, and that is the protection of our workers. Because if we can't keep our workers protected, the whole yard shuts down. So if we make a mistake on this and we lose our operators, then the yard is shut down. We don't have the staff to do the job. So I think we really need to be cautious moving forward to prevent any of the staff becoming ill. Assemblymember Decker. Julie, you're still on mute.
Thanks. I just had a few comments. The first one is the potential to make a real tiny change in A and B. Basically, I was hoping to include hyperlinks to Health Mandate 17 and then Appendix 1 and Appendix 2. I think those are mentioned in A, B, and C. And if hyperlinks to those things at the state could be included, that'd be great. Either that or attach it one way or another, make it easy for fishermen to access that. I had a couple of comments and questions. I wanted to know under EB whether we had secured porta potties potentially for folks that need to quarantine from out of state for their use in the yard.
Mr. Mayor, may I respond?
Please go ahead.
Yes, 5 of them were ordered last week.
And do you have an ETA on that?
I will get one. I don't have one at this moment.
Okay.
I can tell you that the original supplier was in Washington, was out of them. So they're coming if they're coming from a different supplier, I think in Montana or just a little further east.
Okay. And then I was wondering if that, I think you said $30,000 or $35,000 that's coming to the city, if that might be able to be used for that purpose as one thing.
For the porta potties?
Yeah.
It's eligible under CARES funding as well. So either one of those is fine.
Okay. Follow up, Mr. Mayor, if you don't mind. I'll keep going.
I'm just plugging my computer in and losing my power here. I apologize. Go ahead, Julie.
Okay. The Lima flag, I know, I don't know if some folks have them or not, but I've ordered some extras that I could pass along to the harbor to have on hand in case there's the vessel that doesn't have those things. And if there's someone from the public that's listening that has a business down in the yard, I really strongly encourage them to also read this appendix one to Health Mandate 17, because it has a section on there on what contractors would be required to do on board vessels. So that's important for them to know. And I think that's all my questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Assemblymember Decker. Is anything follow up on Assemblymember Decker's points, Lisa? Are you good there?
We certainly could order some Lima flags as well if necessary, so that we've got them ready to go if a person needs it.
I would point out that that's actually mandated in the fisheries that they're not to be out on the water without a Lima flag. So everybody should have a Lima flag. Nobody should show up without one. But maybe we could have some available for purchase if somebody does, and then heading out for fisheries. But a Lima flag is a part of that mandate. Any assembly member Morgan, you have a question?
Yes, just a quick question. If we are mandating that a boat, once it gets into the yard, before we are letting folks there work on it, it has to sit for 3 days. Is the yard charge going to be as high as it is otherwise for those 3 days?
Actually, I'm sorry, Mr. Mayor.
Go ahead, Lisa.
Yeah, the harbor master, and I apologize, that should be in here, but we made it clear. We said we would waive the fees for the 72-hour quarantine period.
Oh, okay, thank you.
Thanks, Assemblymember Morrison. Any other questions? Hearing none, poll vote. Oh, sorry, Assemblymember Decker snuck in under the wire there. Go ahead, Julie.
Thanks. I had two more, I guess. How is this information going to get out to the public? Can it be on our Wrangell landing page as well as the Marine Service Center page? And then has the conversation been had with staff about, really all that this means?
Lisa, please take that question.
The staff has not had that conversation, and we will be doing that first thing tomorrow.
And Assemblymember Decker, did you have another question? There was a two-part question there, Lisa. First part was on getting it on our landing page and also on the boatyard page.
So yes, we can put that everywhere.
Anything else from you? You good?
Good.
Any other questions? And Assemblymember DeLong.
Just to follow up on the Lima flags, Julie, do you have some information? I know that Nomar and Homer were making flags, but I'm not sure if it has to be a certain material. I know it's a certain color combo, and maybe is this something that maybe us mask makers in town can get on board with, and it be a local, because if every fishing boat now needs to have one on board, that's quite a large number, that something else that needs to be made, so.
What I might recommend is that information out on our website. I know, Julie, you sent around already. Lima, I know that you tagged my son on some information for manufacturing, local in-state manufacturing. Let's try and get that information out on our webpage as well. And then that way, folks that need to find them can get them, and maybe encourage the hardware stores to pick up some as well. Any other questions? Okay, poll vote, please.
Assembly members Morrison?
Yes.
DeLong?
Yes.
Decker?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
Larrabee?
Yes.
Gilbert?
Yes.
And Mayor Prasanka?
Yes. And item 5C, our last item for this evening, approval to establish and make ready an alternative COVID-19 isolation site. Recommended motion on page 31.
Move to approve establishing and making ready an alternative COVID-19 isolation site.
We move. We have a second. Assemblymember DeLong seconded. Okay, discussion. Lisa, do you want to walk us through the start of this?
Sure, Mr. Mayor. Sorry, I'm scrolling quickly through things to get to this agenda item. So as we discussed in surge planning and in talking about what Wrangell's healthcare capacity is, and very closely aligned with Assemblymember Gilbert's comments about needing to be prepared ahead of time, we need to have a place ready to go for folks to be able to isolate if they test positive for COVID and just need a place to go and stay and wait out the symptoms until they are well and deemed clear of COVID-19. And this might be used for folks who live here in Wrangell, but who can't have adequate separation at home from their families. It may also be used for people who are here just seasonally and don't have a place where they could socially isolate, whether it's a fishing vessel or whatever other domicile arrangements they may have. And we certainly don't want to wait until we have this situation arise and then try to deal with it after the fact. And so Captain Spray, actually a number of weeks ago, had a conversation with Trident about securing one of their bunkhouses to use for this purpose. And she is in the process of formalizing that agreement right now. And we don't have a cost associated with that. Although they have verbally said yes to us, we're trying to get everything in writing, and they haven't told us what the rental or et cetera will be related to that. So we're waiting to find out. And then obviously there's a whole list of bullet points in the agenda statement of things that need to be taken into consideration. Not only do we have to have staff available to make everything ready and operate stuff, we've got to have provisions in place for personal gear and things for each person that might be in there. And although we've got MMRE kits from the FEMA trailer that have like sheets and toothpaste and comb and those sorts of things in them, those are 14 years old. And probably some of that stuff is old and needs to be replaced anyway. So we need to put together these personal needs kits for folks. There's going to need to be catering agreements put in place so that food can be delivered. And that may be as few as, getting food for one person to getting food for multiple people if necessary, but we need to get those things worked out. We need to liaise with the hospital to make sure that we understand how ongoing care for these people is going to take place while they're in isolation. I don't know what that looks like. Maybe it's setting up, a Zoom computer, computers with Zoom on it so that the clinicians can talk to the patients there without actually having to see them. I don't know what all of those things are going to look like, but we need to get something in place. And again, I said I was a little bit concerned about spending any money prior to Wednesday's meeting of the legislative committee to make sure that we're going to get at least very similar amount of money as was originally indicated. But so long as that comes through, we're asking for the assembly to grant approval for use of up to $100,000 to make ready an initial shelter for people to isolate in place. And so if anybody has any questions, we're happy to answer those.
I just want to encourage everyone to stay focused on the big picture on this and not auger into the details, like what, all the different things. There will be a manager hired who will come up and they'll be, they will start working on that. That's really not our thing to try to figure out all the minutia of this, but rather look at the large picture. So any hands up there for questions?
Yes, Mayor.
You bet. Drew, if I get you, use that blue hand button when you go. I'm gonna let Ann go first and then I'll get to you. Go ahead, Ann.
I was just wondering, what is the capacity of that one bunkhouse? How many people are we talking about if it were full?
Mr. Mayor, I'm going to ask Captain Spray to answer that question.
Sounds good. Thank you.
I apologize, but I do not know off the top of my head.
Okay. I was just curious. Thank you.
one of the things that will have to be considered, of course, is that you can't bring it to capacity, because I know that there's multiple, each room has multiple bunks. So, but we can take a look at that. Assemblymember Larrabee.
Yes, for what timeline are we looking at doing this, starting when and ending when? And do we have any kind of concept as to what the cost may be on a monthly reference? You know, how long do we intend to continue with having this ready and so forth?
City Manager Von Bargen?
Yeah, thank you. Assemblymember Larrabee, I don't have an absolute answer for you. My guess would be that we would keep this in place while we have seasonal population influx rotating through, and while the, while COVID is still active, until there is a significant, what I would say, flattening in the state, so that we know there's a much less likelihood of anybody coming in to the community with COVID. And so I would say probably through September would be my guess, unless, you know, things just kind of fizzle out and the scare sort of goes away, I guess. And I don't know what that looks like. I guess I would defer to the medical experts to say when that is. But my guess would be is that it'd probably be through the season, through the summer season.
Assemblymember Larrabee.
So are you saying that you believe that the majority of that $100,000 that you're asking for would be involved in the, gearing up of that facility and so forth, and not necessarily in the maintenance of the rent and so forth on that facility?
Assemblymember Larrabee, I actually took a stab in the dark at that number because I needed to put something there, and we will have to come back to you with a formal budgetary amendment for the assembly to take care of this. When we know what the funding is that's going to actually supply the money for this, whether it's CARES Act or whether we're going to say we want to seek reimbursement through FEMA for this. And when we have a handle on what the cost is going to be, we haven't yet gotten that information from Trident as to what their rental expense cost is going to be for us. And so I'm sorry that was a wag at best.
Any other questions from the assembly? Assemblymember Decker.
Thank you. I just wanted to say I support this, and I think it's a good idea to have in place. And I support having it in place through September 30th. You know, we can revisit things at that time or somewhat before that time, but that is the time period where we have more folks coming through the entire state of Alaska. So. And I would say other communities are doing similar things. On Alaska, one of the seafood processors actually moved out of one of their bunkhouses, and they turned it into an isolation facility for everyone to use. So I appreciate Trident's willingness to be sort of a good neighbor and potentially engage with the city on this level. Good work, I think, and hopefully you won't cost an arm and a leg, but I guess I'm sure a big part of that is how much staffing we need to support. You know, if we keep numbers low or zero, hopefully it'll be less money. So
that's it. I just want to point out that on the staffing, this is not, you have to have staff and they have to be trained on how to utilize PPE. This would be dangerous work for individuals that would be going in to take care of folks and help out. And so they have to be trained and brought along. And so it's not just something you're gonna grab somebody off the street and have them do. It's gonna be a fairly complex operation that will need good management. But the reality is, if we don't have this, we can't have people, you know, rolling through the community with no upland residents or ability to isolate themselves. So I think it's critical. Any other questions on this item?
Mr. Mayor, I would just ask if Captain Spray has anything to add that we may have missed.
Captain Spray?
No, I think Lisa had a great outline there of the items that are really required. And Steve, you reiterating that this isn't just to grab somebody and have them, you know, man the door. It takes a lot to put up a shelter and to properly manage a shelter, especially with infectious disease. So thank you guys for addressing this.
The other thing that I want to emphasize, this is not something you'd be tasking EMTs to do. The EMTs need to be dedicated to providing EMS services to our community, because even if there is a COVID outbreak, we still have all kinds of other needs in the community for healthcare. So these are individuals that need to be hired separately from the EMS service. So, okay. Is there any other questions? Hearing none, poll vote, please.
Assembly members DeLong?
Yes.
Morrison?
Yes.
Howell?
Yes.
Larrabee?
Yes.
Gilbert?
Yes.
Decker?
Yes.
And Mayor Prasanka?
Yes, I'm sorry to the Wrangell Sentinel. This is not a time for questions. We're in an official meeting, so you can try to connect with Lisa after the meeting to get clarification. All right, so that is our last item, and nothing further. We will adjourn at 7:13 p.m. Thank you to everybody for attending. Appreciate it.
Thank you, everybody.